BSM developments in the Sherpa event generator. Also on behalf of my collaborators mentioned down here, Sherpa collaboration. So first I'm going to start to give some general overview over the event generator Sherpa, and then I'm going to more details about BSM, especially the models that are implemented there. So Sherpa is acronym for simulation of high energy reactions of particles. So there has been a new publication about our new version of Sherpa. It's designed to be a full simulation of high energy particle reactions at existing and future collider experiments, including number of initial states. And it's a key feature is it specially accounts for multi-jet production by using a tree-level matrix element combined with a Hardon shower using the CKKW prescription. It's written from the scratch completely in C++. So that and it has a modular structure, which is motivated by different physics tasks. And well, there's some philosophy about how we built the whole structure up. This is the like the general picture of an event at a Hadron collider, and the stages or the modules with which Sherpa is going to deal with different things. So the current version now includes the matrix, the automated matrix element generator, a MAGIC, which is kind of responsible. What is this? Which is responsible for the hard interaction. Then we have a Parton shower module, a PASIC, which is responsible for initial and final state QCD radiation. And those two modules are combined of a special procedure to implement the CKKW merging of matrix element and Parton showers. Then we have a module responsible for multiple interaction called a MESIG. And then this is new since Sherpa versions 1.1 that we have now implemented our own atronization model, the cluster atronization model. The module is called a HADIC, and also a hadron decay module, hadrons, and a module for photon radiations from final state hadrons using the Yanni-Frau-Chiesuba treatment. Before this versions, we had for both of those tasks an interface to PCI. This interface still exists, so it can be used for cross checks. But now, kind of Sherpa or our own code is complete, or to have a complete event generator for all stages from the beginning on.
So, are there reasons why you wanted to do something new rather than Pythia?
Well, one reason is that we have it full under control by ourselves, and it's just for those non-perturbative modules or models. This is kind of modeling, so it's good to have several models to cross-check.
So, how different have you studied how different the two modelings are?
Well, there are some small difference, but so far for what is data available, it can be tuned to. I mean, there are a number of tuning parameters. We have less tuning parameters than PCI has at the end, and but still can describe the data. So for new data, there are still studies have to be made and check what difference might be.
I mean, specifically for your multiple part interaction, is that different from PCI? I thought that was just the same.
It is based on the same idea, but it has some differences from the original.
Which one would have to look into the manual to know that? Or?
That would be nice to understand the difference.
Yeah.
Because
Well,
also both for atronization model and the multiple part interaction.
I'm not so much an expert on
sure,
this piece of Sherpa, so.
But at some point, I would also like to understand exactly what
another of these meetings or so, maybe.
Cluster atomization model very similar to Hermes?
it is similar, yes. It's also based on the same ideas, but it's, again, it's not identical. It just implements the general ideas, but in its own way. So, and Sherpa is kind of the complete framework for this and steers all the different phases. So just a few words to the key feature, the CKKW merging. When doing multi-jet events, one basically has two approaches to produce kinematic configurations. One is the matrix element, and the other one is Parton-Shower. Both have its strengths and its weaknesses. So the matrix element, they are exact at fixed order. So when I'm talking here, matrix element generally just means tree-level matrix element. They include all interferences and spin correlations, everything. But on the downside, they are computationally very expensive and are only available for a relatively low final state multiplicities. So, and also, as a fixed order calculation, it is not an adequate description of a soft or collinear kinematic regions. On the other hand, the Parton-Shower resums all leading or some next to leading logarithms to all orders. And it's adequate for evolution from a hard scale down to the hadronization scale. But typically, Parton-Shower's lack of hard, large angles, QCD emissions, and interferences and correlations are usually only or only approximately implemented in the Parton-Shower. In the CKKW approach, also like other matching approaches, tries to combine the best of both approaches and to avoid the double counting. So this approach has been proposed in those papers here, and it bases also like other matching algorithms on a separation of the phase space for the Parton emission by a KT jet measure, Q jet. So basically, tree level matrix elements are jet seeds and have to produce Partons above the scale Q jet. And a Parton jet responsible for intra-jet evolution produces radiation below this scale Q jet down to cutoff scale. So and the procedure is basically to take matrix elements, identify possible Parton-Shower histories from these kinematic configurations by backward clustering, and then reweight the matrix element with a combined alpha S and Sudakov weight. So alpha S is just that's calculated at the scale where certain radiation happens. And then to this reweighted matrix elements, Parton-Shower is added, and emissions above the scale QJet have to be redoed, so to avoid the double counting. And in total, this results gives strongly reduced dependence on this cutoff parameter, which can be used for cross-checks and to see some uncertainties of the approach. But this is just as an example. So the CKKW procedure is implemented in Sherpa in full generality and has been validated on a quite large number of different processes. Against data also where it is available. So this is just the result from the recent version against D0 run 2 data for Z production, the PT of the Z boson here in a larger rapidity range, and this is just zoomed into the peak. Okay, so far for this, now I want to talk about the BSM implementations within Sherpa. So basically, parts that can contain BSM components are mainly the hard matrix elements, where the matrix element generator, a magic, can automatically generate three matrix elements for standard model and a number of beyond standard model scenarios which have been implemented. So in the next couple slides, I will talk about the scenarios that come with the normal release version of Sherpa. And also, but which is not fully completed yet, Parton-Shower can do some, should be able to simulate QCD radiation from new color charged particles as they appear in many models. So, and all the other models, they are not really involved in the BSM physics. So, a few words for the matrix element generator magic. It's basically an automatic code that generates matrix elements from Feynman amplitudes, which are computed in the Lissity method. As I said, it's completely automatic, and Feynman rules or everything BSM models can be implemented on a level of Feynman rules. So once the amplitudes are generated in some analytic way, they are automatically simplified, and then it's stored as a C++ library. So along with the matrix element, also a propagate phase space mapping is generated, just to have an efficient phase space integration for the matrix elements. And also provides structures to generate all parton level processes that contribute to a jet cross-section at once. And yeah, here I just mentioned a couple models that are basically in the release, which I'm going to talk now in a little bit more detail. Oh, okay. Before that, a few features of a magic worth to mention. So basically, one can specify any process by setting up the initial and final state particles, either explicitly or using some particle container to get full cross-section, jet cross-sections, for example, or inclusive lepton decays. In general, it's for most processes, it's typically can be done for up to 2 to 6 or 6 particles in the final state. Generation for some processes a little bit more, for some a little bit less. Depends how complicated and how many amplitudes one gets. what is also possible within a magic is to specify certain decay chains. There are two modes. So here, for example, for a process, we have PP bar collision produce a top pair and the Higgs, which then subsequently decay. One mode is basically just to restrict to amplitudes that contain those intermediate particles explicitly as propagators. This has the advantage that one gets some off-shell contribution of the amplitudes as well, but it is also to some extent age-dependent, because just if one has charged intermediate particles, one neglects the interferences or certain amplitudes, so one gets some gauge dependent, which is usually pretty small, as long as those particles stay more or less close to their mass shells. And the other mode, one can do a strict Nerovitz approximation, where one basically forces all the intermediate particles onto the mass shells, so then one don't has gets off-shell effects, but it's also all gauge invariant. And in both of the modes, the full spin information between the production and the decay of those particles is kept. So, and basically using this decay chain specifications, one can go far beyond this limit of roughly 6 final state particles. So now a few words to the MSSM implementation. The MSSM is completely implemented as on the level of Feynman rules. The spectrum for MSSM is not generated by Sherpa itself, so it has to be fed in using SUSY Lissouche report input files. The Feynman rules that are implemented are taken from this publication. It's R parity conserving unitary gauge. Well, these are just some technical issues of the implementation, how some issues have been realized. The application area is calculation of total and partial widths of particles, particle production at different colliders, and basically one can study SUSY signals and standard model or SUSY backgrounds using this. So I guess everybody who has worked with the MSSM is aware of this paper. So there has been extensive comparison between different matrix element generators that are that have the MSSM implemented. So basically, SMATGRAPH, Omega Lizard, and Magic, and all
SUSE vertices have been tested there within the study, and all those codes agree very well. So the full results can be found either in this paper or here on this website. Also, just taking from this paper some application to see the influence of off-shell effects. So basically, what is compared here is just a certain scenario of spot-on production and decay into neutralinos. And here in this plots, this compared just the dashed curves is the cross-section calculated using a narrow width approximation. So basically, the spot-ons are produced and on-shell and then decayed. And the solid curves is generated using the full sets of diagrams just to generate the final state directly. And here one can see some sizable off-shell effects, especially in the low PT region. So far for the MSSM. Now I want to talk a little bit about large extra dimensions. So there's this ADD model of large extra dimensions where one has n compact extra dimensions which are accessible only to gravity. For that reason, these large extra dimensions can be really quite large. And basically, in a four-dimensional picture, one gets Kaluza-Klein excitations of these gravitons, which has really a lot of excitations that are accessible. For that reason, in the four-dimensional picture, one gets an enhanced gravitational coupling. Feynman rules have been derived already 10 years ago for this, and in 2003, basically with Constantine, we have implemented all the 3 and 4 point interactions between Sandon model particles and gravitons. Details can be found here in this paper. There are a few special issues with this model. Basically, due to the abundance of the Kaluza-Klein states of the graviton, they cannot be handled as individual particles. So one has to do a summation over all those states to get some physical result, so some reasonable result. There are two different situations for studies. One is that one has virtual gravitons. There, the summation over all the graviton state can be done on a propagator level, just basically replacing the sum by an integral and using some ultraviolet cutoff, since this is just an effective theory. So from this cutoff, there have been different conventions in the literature just how to parameterize all this, the cutoff. And usually one has two parameters, some scale, which is related to this cutoff, and the number of extra dimensions. And just the most common convention
here.
Yeah?
So although you put this integral in complex numbers, as it should be, it looks like the implementation actually done with real numbers, because we found that there is a divergence which shouldn't be there. I mean, to discuss it with you offline. If your S-hat approaches the ultraviolet cutoff,
yeah,
you have a divergence which shouldn't be there if this integral is really complex. So it seems
okay
that there's some shortcut in the implementation. We found it just recently.
Okay, yeah. Well, basically what we implemented is just taking some conventions from the literature, so this is basically what...
Right, but what I'm saying,
yeah,
is that the complex integration doesn't seem to be implemented directly.
Okay.
So I think,
yeah,
you just took the view apart, and that,
yeah,
creates a divergence.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, at this point, this can be easily extended and modified to something else. This is relatively local. So on the other hand, if we have to deal with real gravitons, then basically do an summation for an extra phase-based integral to some accessible Kaluza-Klein states of the graviton. So here are just a few plots that have been used to validate the implementation. So these are just cross-sections using different conventions, these two issue here for a linear collider, this initial graviton exchange, and this graviton production together with the photon. And here's some example for graviton production that you see together with
a single jet. Okay, the third implementation I want to talk about are anomalous electrolytic gauge couplings. So basically, this is not just a model by itself, it's rather a general parameterization of a general interaction between vector bosons. This has been already proposed quite a while ago here in this paper. So on the one hand, there's implemented triple gauge couplings between W bosons and a photon or a Z. Coming from this general Lagrangian here, basically one has a number of parameters that one can adjust. And basically, if one gets a model that leads to such interactions, all one has to do is basically to find those parameters for the certain model and to study it. Similar for the interactions between neutral vector bosons. There's been implemented this vertex, essentially coming from the same Lagrangian, also with a number of parameters. Here in this case, there's additional restriction that all of the bosons have to be on shell. If we have all bosons off shell, this there are a lot more interactions possible. But this is what is implemented.
Those include anomalous?
Hmm? Yeah, these are all anomalous couplings.
Oh,
okay. Well, basically, a standard model would be for this one, G1 equals 1, or just a coupling constant, and this kappa also equals 1. And all the rest has to be 0. This would be standard model, and for certain scenarios, one get non-zero values for the others. And this coupling here doesn't exist for standard model, but at least not at tree level. But can be induced by some models or. Oops.
So lots of those interactions do violate unitarity. For this, common unitarization method also has been implemented, which basically rescales the coupling constants that deviate from standard model in this way. So specifying some scale lambda and some power n, which typically take to be 2. All those interactions have been validated against an independent code from Ulrich Bauer. So, yeah, this is just some distributions to study that, or to show that really both implementations are identical to the same results. So, well, it's hardly visible, just the straight lines. This is the Scherbart prediction, and the crosses is. Predictions by this code from Ulrich Bauer.
What sort of values of lambda do you choose?
Here, this is just quite arbitrary for kappa and kappa tilde. So we typically have values of the order of 1, and for lambda 0.1. But this is just completely arbitrary here. This is not some physics study. This is just to see that the matrix elements would match.
Yes.
I'm not talking about the physics at this point here. I'm just talking about the implementation. So
you can put it as, if you make lambda as big as you want, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but this was just for comparison. So we made it really big to see some sizable effects, just to see that the implementation is correct. But yes, there are restrictions from lab and other experiments.
There's a number more models that have been implemented. So the previous three and down to here, they are available in the release version. Basically, here is just some SU2 custodial symmetry conserving quadruple anomalous gauge couplings, usually referred to Lagrangians L4 and L5, which have been proposed quite a long time ago. And a 2x doublet model of type 2, which is just in there as a byproduct of the MSSM implementation.
can be used without the rest of the MSSM. Then there's an implementation of the Phantom Higgs model, the first generation Axi gluons, and there have been lots of private implementations of usually just a few interactions parts of a model to do some certain physics study. Here to list two of them, but since this is just a small part of a model, not complete, and not validated within the full framework, it's not in the release version, but in principle available on request. These are not the only ones, so there are more than those two I listed here. In general, just a few words to further extensions of the matrix element generator. In principle, it's rather simple, but at the moment there's still programming necessary, so one needs to understand a little bit of the structure. A quite generic treatment for internal and external particles with those spin numbers is provided by a magic, and if one wants to implement new interactions that are just proportional to already implemented vertices, this is rather simple. So basically, one can reuse all the Lorentz and Dirac structures that have been implemented for other models. So these are essentially for the whole standard model vertices and the MSSM vertices, and also the graviton coupling via the energy momentum tensor, just for it to be easy to implement other models with gravitational coupling. We're also working on a general interface to the fine rule package, but this is still in preparation. A few words to the parton shower. As I mentioned before, this is not really complete yet for BSM scenarios, but we did some studies for merging, for showering and merging with heavy colored particles. So here for the standard model case with the top. Basically, there's a special or an extension or generalization of the merging procedure to incorporate matrix or radiation from by matrix elements, either from the production or from the decay of colored particles at the top here in this case. So from the matrix element side, for example, this is TT bar production, I would provide those processes and a few more. Basically, the leading order process, just TT bar production and subsequent decays. Then PP bar production and an extra gluon in the production process. TT bar production and extra gluon in the decay, also the same for the other decay, of course. And then gluons also possible in all different stages. So the parton shower ASIC has been extended basically to provide correct showering for those massive particles. So for the production process, basically the final state shower, there's a final state shower for the top, and then for the decay process, there's your initial state showering for the top, and then final state showering for the bottom, and merging basically works independently for the production and the decay processes. So it's kind of assumes that production and decay factorizes, but still includes matrix element corrections to QCD radiations at all levels. So basically, the same can be done for MSSM. And from the side of the parton shower and also the matrix elements, it's in principle ready. So the parton shower has implemented all necessary massive splitting functions and next to the Dirac-Sudakov factors. But there's still some verification and checks ongoing, so it's not yet in a public release.
What exactly do you mean by next to the Dirac-Sudakov factors?
Well, it's just trying to improve.
Did you use two-loop QCD? Do you have like one goes to three spinnings?
Not really in that pathway. So it it's just, I mean, yeah, it's leading log, but it takes some extra leading log to use with it. So maybe
then we should probably call them improved leading log.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah?
That first bullet there is really interesting. Do you guys have a physics paper that compares all of these different implementations of the Blue Line Edition and GTBar?
No, we don't really have an own paper, but in the publication for the SHAPA release 1.1, there's a chapter about this.
Okay.
So, well, the last point I want to talk about is just a number of future developments. They're not specific for BSM, but of course they can increase the opportunity or the things that can be done with SHAPA towards BSM physics. And I want to mention this, that we have developed a new matrix element generator, which is not asymmetric based on Feynman diagrams, but employs a generalized version of Behrens-Cheele recursion, and especially designed to generate matrix elements for extremely high multiplicities. So while a metric typically stops not technically, but it's just unpractical to go far beyond 2 to 6. With COMICS, we already calculated complete processes, for example, PP bar to 8 jets, things like this with exact true level matrix elements.
Is this only for true levels, or is it
No, it's for the complete standard models as well. But with other processes, we can go similar. So there are two new showers. There have been developed two new shower implementations. One is a parton shower that is based on the Catani-Simar Dipole factorization. And described in this publication. And the other one is based on a color dipole model, so similar as the Ariadne shower. But this includes initial stage showering in the same spirit. It's done for final stage showering in Ariadne. Then also there's a generalized CKKW implementation in preparation, which basically can deal with all the different matrix element generators and different showers. And there's lots of activity currently going on towards next to leading order. The Catani-Simar subtraction to regularize real corrections basically has been implemented and generated automatically with inner magic. Then we are working on interfaces to loop matrix element codes. And also a lot of manpower is going currently into the field how to interface the next to leading order matrix element calculations with parton showers. Okay, so that brings me to the summary. So basically, SHAPA is ready for quite a few studies of BSM scenarios. Matrix elements are available and easily extendable for many BSM scenarios. And also, parton shower for heavy resonances, in principle, validated for standard model case, but principle ready also for BSM studies, but just have to be more validated, and our latest version here is available. Matrix element concerned, yes. And in some pieces.
Maybe you should describe how that's implemented. If I have, let's say, blue article, which then decays, and I'd like to have the same correlation from that process. How do you do it?
Well, basically, if you would calculate a full matrix element, it's automatic, automatically in there. So if you specify a decay chain, there are two ways I described. One is just to neglect all amplitudes that do not contain those resonances you specified. So there, also, since you have the full propagator, the spin correlation is automatic. If you do a full narrow width approximation, all is done that basically the propagator is replaced by a delta function, but still the numerator is kept completely, so there's also the full spin correlation embedded. So then there's also some spin correlating correlations implemented in the case of hadrons in this hadrons module that I mentioned before.
And do you have your own tau? Polarized tau decay module?
Yes. The tau decay. Right. This hadrons basically contains also tau decays.
Just say, to be clear, I know you make a hadron shower.
Yes.
How do you go from the shower to actual hadrons in the shirt? Is it just you just match the spectrum of hadrons to the parton shower, or do you in-house it? Is there some magic point where the quarks and gluons turn into hadrons?
Yeah, well, but this is...
How do you do, I mean, what's the actual algorithm that's assumed?
Well, this is just a cluster hadronization model. Basically.
How do you do the matching so you know how many pions, protons, or whatever?
Well, I'm not so much into the details of this module, so it was not me who implemented it. So it's just as any of those hadronization models, you have a model how you get from the partons. To and you have a number of parameters in there, and then what you do is basically fit those parameters to describe the data.
And so now you fit the parameters, T plus E minus, I guess, is the...
Yeah, this is what one would start with, but, well, as far as data is available, it should kind of fit
and
to all data.
This is what Pythia does, too, I guess.
It's a slightly different model. I mean, they use this cluster model, so there's the cluster model, which is what Herwig traditionally has used, developed by Brian Weber and those people. And there's the string hadronization model, which Pythia uses. And they're sort of correct in opposite limits of QCD, so the string model is for infinitely long strings. The cluster model is basically where you take the patterns that come out and you lump them into little color singlets that then decay isotropically. So it's kind of like the infinitely short. they basically look like slightly excited hadrons, but a continuous spectrum of slightly excited hadrons that then decay to rows and pions and so forth. So it's sort of two opposite, you know, limiting cases.
So if I ask the question of how many baryons are made, is it very model dependent, or it's the model does it differently?
That is model dependent. That is model. Baryon production, especially, is like none of the Monte Carlos, I would say, would claim that they understand it.
That's really my question.
You will get variance, but... Right.
Yeah. Other questions? I had a brief question. So Stefan mentioned that in this area you can take a parton level events from somewhere else and just use the channeling and take parts of this area separately on those events. Is it possible in Sherpa?
From somewhere else?
Use parton level events generated by Akram or someone and store them in a file and then use the hybridization part of Sherpa.
Not easy.
What's the difference? Like, is there a conceptual issue to the model?
So far, concerning the whole procedure, especially the merging involved in Sherpa, it uses some information from the matrix element that can get hold of. It depends a little bit on the matrix element generator. That's also why we are generalizing the implementation. So basically,
so your meshing doesn't pull off.
In principle, yes, but it uses information. So currently, for example, to do the backward clustering of the matrix online, it basically looks into the matrix online what kind of Feynman diagrams there are available. And only does clustering, for example, along those Feynman diagrams.
And
this information is
not
available if you just.
So the opposite question, can you write out in the initial report format and then from the matrix online?
In principle, one can, yeah, but this hasn't been done.
On this one?
Yeah.
Because if you can,
I mean, what one can do is then
at
some point to use some standard event output format.
Right.
But now it's a few of them are implemented.
So
breaking up really the pieces of matrix ornament and pattern showers with non-Sherpa pieces is not really foreseen.
For example, for you have to handle under uncertainties of standardization models, it would be useful to start with the same.
Yeah. Well, since the interface to PuSA is there, one can easily switch just within Sherpa between PuSA and the cluster hybridization model.
Yes, so they used to use the Pythia hybridization model before they developed their own, right? So they have, like, you can interface Pythia and you can share.
Oh, so our own model is only in there since about a year before that we were also always using PuSA. So now they can be used in parallel.
The interface
is done
in the
digital?
I don't know what the interface is. No, it just interfaces the Fortran version of PuSA. Yeah.
But then the Fortran version of Pythia has an interface, so you could...
Yeah, but then you will not get all the features to the version.
Right.
I mean, sure, there are ways where you can use it purely as a matrix ornament generator if you wish to.
I mean, like, comics is really cool, right? So we would like to, I would like to rip it out and use it for my own sinister purposes, right? So you're saying I can't do that.
Well, it involves some work, it can be done. I mean, currently, comics is still also available as some quite standalone version which just generates the matrix element. Yeah, it's making its way into the whole framework. But also, even as the standalone version uses some pieces of which are implemented in Sherpa, just taken directly from there, like interfaces to PDFs and the whole model structure.